Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome especially to our service this morning. It's so encouraging to see so many people coming out on a public holiday and just being here together to celebrate this tremendous day, this tremendous victory of the Lord Jesus Christ as he ascended into glory. As Mark said, we don't often hear messages about the ascension of the Lord, and there are not that many songs in our hymn books about the actual ascension of the Lord Jesus. And perhaps it's because it's just such a big theme. I think that's probably the reason. Such a huge strategic event, a watershed of salvation history and a watershed of human history, actually, that occurred at the time of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think with the result in the church, we tend to handle the separate events separately and focus our theology and our teaching around those. But today I want to try and get a big canvas and kind of stretch it out and with some bold strokes, just create a picture or recreate a picture as it happened, as it unfolded. Then at the time that Jesus ascended, actually ascended to heaven. It was a strategic event with strategic impact upon the world and upon the church. And not even one single passage alone really does justice to this huge theme of Jesus ascending into heaven. And so I want to today, instead of reading just one passage, I want to read to you selected passages. And kind of let's imagine this morning that we are creating a huge canvas of the cosmic impact of this event, of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. And so as we do that, let's just turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing, ask him to illumine us afresh this morning and enthuse us afresh with his glory. Oh Lord, thank you for this great event. Thank you for the songs we've sung. Please accept the worship of our hearts, Lord, as you, even now, seated at the right hand of God, reigning over the universe, making intercession for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would help us to capture afresh the greatness of this theme of your ascension into heaven. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so John takes the brush, first of all, and he recalls to us the words of the Lord Jesus when he said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's good for you that I'm going away. Because unless I go, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt regarding sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then Luke takes up the story, and in Acts chapter 1, he says these words, again, words of Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he had said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Years later, the writer to the Hebrews put it this way, as he looked back and he looked forward. He said, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, and here it comes, the ascension again, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, the passage we read, I pray that your eyes may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparable great power for us who believe, that power like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Again, back to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. And then back to Luke. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven. And therefore John could say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the disciples, the going away of the Lord Jesus or his ascension left them with troubled and sorrowful hearts, losing their beloved master on whom they'd pinned their hopes. And I think for us sometimes today, isn't it true, that we actually long that Jesus could be here and that we could see him and see his responses to some of the issues that we face. I think we've all longed that Jesus was here. But here we see there's such a bigger picture. And the reasons why Jesus ascended into heaven are given us so clearly in these assorted readings which we had today. Because you see, for Jesus it meant the completion of his work here on earth and the beginning of something far greater. The beginning of his glory ascending back in victory to heaven, to the right hand of his Father, where he would reign and where he would intercede for us, his people. And you see, so there was this greater purpose for the Lord Jesus. As he returned to heaven in triumph, it was like a general returning from battle. And we get several glimpses of this in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 2, Ephesians chapter 4. That triumphal procession of Jesus coming back into heaven with us in train. Those who have benefited from his victories. And as it were, the streets of heaven are lined with the angels who are singing glory to God and praising the Father for the accomplished work that the Lord Jesus did. And then he arrives to the throne room and he sits down, as it were, here at the right hand of God to reign and to make intercession for us. His earthly work complete, but his heavenly work beginning in a wonderful way. And theologians speak about these two states of Christ, his humiliation and his exaltation. And yet so often we focus upon the worldly, the things that we knew, the stories of Jesus that we knew. And sometimes I believe we neglect, to our peril and to our discouragement almost as Christians sometimes, this victorious state in which the Lord Jesus reigns and works on our behalf now. And so I want to speak this morning from these very passages, and we're not going to take long. Mark, this is not a long message, so you better get ready for the last hymn. But marvelous, marvelous centers of blessing, if you like, that arise out of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three great benefits, one great challenge, and one great end. That's what I'd like to just us to focus upon now as we go through. Number one, the great benefit. And if you like, visualize it on our canvas, down here on earth someplace, maybe in the left-hand corner, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given, benefit number one, associated with his ascension into heaven. In fact, he said, unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And so mysteriously through his Spirit, Jesus is with us still, present in our very hearts, ministering to us through his Spirit. Because you see, the ascension of Christ meant the sending of the Spirit. And within weeks of Christ's ascension, Pentecost occurred. And that opened up a whole new vista, a whole new era, as it were, in the life of the church. I guess sometimes we wonder if only Jesus could be here. But you know, if Jesus was here in physical form, maybe we'd get the kind of message if we asked him for help. Sorry, he's gone to Waterkloof today. Or he's in Johannesburg attending a council meeting of BTC like our pastor does sometimes. And so you better consult the assistant pastor. But you see, it's not like that. Because Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, left his Spirit. And so he could say, it's much better that I go away, because I'll send the Comforter to you, that universal helper of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's active in China today. He's active even in the hearts of unbelievers, quickening them and bringing them to the place where they see their need of Christ. No wonder he could say, again in the words of Scripture, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That was given at the end of the Great Commission. And you see, so there's a whole new era for the church, not bound by the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his influence through his Spirit shed abroad around the whole world. I just sat down and I just thought of some of the benefits that the Holy Spirit bring to us as believers in these days. He's the one who quickens sinners. He's the one who quickened my heart that, as being dead in sin, even began to want to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and find him. He's the one who convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He is the one by whom we're born again. Born again by the very Son of God, the Spirit of God in our hearts. He's the one who opens our minds to the Holy Scriptures. He's the one involved even now as we listen to God's Word, as I preach, and as we all listen to the Holy Scriptures. He's the one who makes it plain to our hearts. He's the one who works in us to purify us and make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives us Spirit, love, joy, peace, and you know, the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. He's the one who gives spiritual gifts so that his body might grow. Gifts of caring, gifts of evangelism, gifts of shepherding, gifts of preaching, gifts of discernment. The Holy Spirit gives all these things to his church today. He guards us. He guides us. He provides for us in every way. He gives boldness and power so that we might witness for him. And so imagine it here, this activity, this center of blessing at the bottom of our canvas here on earth. Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, given at Pentecost, given at the time of his ascension, active in the world today. But there's a second center of blessing here on our canvas, and that is the high priestly work of Jesus Christ begun. You see, I think that to me this is one of the most moving provisions, that the King of all the universe, as he sits enthroned there in all his glory and power described in Ephesians chapter 1, that he would actually be doing a work of intercession for each one of us as well. Seated at the right hand of God, he's been called to this ministry of intercession, and so he works for us there. We see him as king, but we see him also as our high priest. This is absolutely marvelous. I just love that passage, the two comparative passages. At one moment he's described as seated in the presence of God, seated because his work is finished. But then, amazingly, I wonder if you remember the text of when Stephen was martyred how we read there that Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And comparing those two verses to me, just give me a sense of the responsiveness of Christ, seated at the right hand of God, to our needs and to what's happening to us here upon earth. And of course, the passage we read from Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that too. We've got a high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way, just like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne. You see, Jesus' presence there at the throne, at the right hand of God, enables us to go into the very throne room of God. Through what he's done for us upon the cross, his finished work, his atonement while he was on earth, there upon the cross. Now he's there for us. To me, this is just marvelous. We've got a representative in heaven. He's the God-man, the one who's God and can represent us before the Father, but the one also who knows everything about being human because he was here upon earth. And I always have this marvelous picture of the Lord Jesus standing there. And when there's an issue, he takes our hand and he takes the hand of the Father. And perfectly, through his ongoing work as a high priest, he represents us as our great high priest there before the Father. And so, up there somewhere on our canvas, there's this picture, the center of blessing of what the Lord Jesus is doing on our behalf. And then there's a third center of blessing, a third benefit, if you like, and that a place is being prepared for us. For me, this takes us into eternity, because it's not just what he did. It's not just what he's doing now. But it does go into eternity. And someday those two lines of our existence now as his children, here amongst all our trouble and difficulty, will actually intersect with eternity, and we'll be with him in the very place that he has gone to prepare for us. In my Father's house are many rooms, but were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be there where I am. Absolutely marvelous words. And so for the persecuted church, for us today, as the going gets tough, we have this hope at the end of the tunnel, eternal hope in the heavens, that one day we will be with the triumphant Lord, sharing his glory. I mean, imagine that. Glorified bodies, sharing his glory, rejoicing and focusing upon him and the great work that he's done for us. But there's also a great challenge, and the great challenge of the ascension is actually the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission was given just before Jesus went up into heaven. A challenge for us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then a cloud hid him from their sight, and he went up into heaven. It's almost as if, as we have revealed to us all of these great centers of blessing resulting from his ascension into heaven, he leaves us with this great work, so that these centers of blessing are not for our own indulgence and for our own enjoyment only, but there's a bigger picture. And as we stand back, we begin to see this. You see, it hasn't just got to do with Central Baptist Church today. It's got to do with his kingdom throughout the whole world. It's got to do with the church in China. It's got to do with the church in India, South America, Europe, wherever else on our continent the name of the Lord Jesus is lifted high. It's got to do with that. And so this great work which he's doing now is so that we might be enabled to do a work for him, and to spread his kingdom and to spread his glory, the glory of his name. Praise God for the work that Jesus did while he was on earth. And where would we be without it? There would be no atonement. There would be no forgiveness of sin. No salvation. But praise God for the work that He continues to do today through His Spirit, through His great intercession, His mediation there in heaven. And I just have a picture of Him even preparing a place for us. Because that's what He said. He went there to prepare a place for us. And now He calls us to work for Him. A work which is still incomplete. But He calls us to work for Him. Did you notice we've said a lot about work today? And it's not insignificant that it's Workers' Day, is it? You know, we're celebrating the work, the finished work that Jesus did when He was on earth. The work that He does even now for us there in heaven, so that we might become workers in His kingdom. And I said at the beginning, there were these three enabling principles or centers of blessing. One great challenge, the Great Commission, but there's one great end, isn't there? And I'd like you to, in your mind, if you can picture this canvas which we've tried to paint today. I mean, we've flipped through the whole of Christian doctrine just about, haven't we? But as you look at it in all its glory and splendor, the work that Jesus did, the centrality of Christ, just write the word over this painting, glory, 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 glory. Because you see, He's in His glorified state now. We will be there one day. And everything we do now, the work that we do now, is for His glory and for the glory of His kingdom, the glory of His cause. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the big picture. And it's so important that we take the small pictures and get into them. But just sometimes, I believe, for our encouragement and to know what our destiny is, we as God's people need to stand back. And I trust we've been able to do this today. And I trust that as Mark leads us in our concluding hymn after our prayer in a moment, that we'll be able to really sing at eight volleyballs, as they say in Afrikaans, celebrating the kingship and the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ and His gracious provision for us as His people in these days, that we too would be workers. Not workers in the sense of Workers' Day, but workers in the sense of Ascension Day. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for the marvelous work that You did for us as sinners. So undeserving, totally undeserving, Lord. And that one day we're actually going to share Your glory because You've called us, You've forgiven us, You've cleansed us, You're enabling us. And oh God, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You that Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior, is at the center of everything, the center of the universe, the center of the cosmos. And Lord, with our such inadequate words and praise now, we want to worship You and thank You. Oh Lord Jesus, You're King. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.